The following program is for entertainment purposes only. Betting involves financial risk and is not suitable for everyone. Always bet responsibly and never wager more than you can afford to lose.
Welcome to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9, your go-to source for NFL betting insights, odds, and expert picks. Whether you're chasing that perfect parlay or looking for the latest line movement, Gio has the strategies and stats to help you beat the book. Get your playbook ready. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to take the man's money.
Welcome back, everyone, to Week 17 of Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. Along with my producer, Romano DeFranco, we are very happy you could join us for the second last week of the show for the year. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas and that Santa was good to you. He wasn't good to me last week, as my record will show. Romano, why don't you roll the tape, if you please?
I like the under better than I like the side. Take the New York Giants +9 over the Atlanta Falcons. And take under 42.5. Take the Detroit Lions -6.5 over the Chicago Bears and take over 47.5. Take the Cincinnati Bengals -7.5 over the Cleveland Browns and take over 46.5. They just don't cover ever. Take the Indianapolis Colts -3.5 over the Tennessee Titans and take over 42.5. Take the Los Angeles Rams -3 over the New York Jets and take over 46.5. Plus, that extra hook is scary. Take the Washington Commanders +3.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles and take over 45.5. Take the Arizona Cardinals -5 over the Carolina Panthers and take over 47.5. The 3-point spread is probably the highest they can win by. So I think the worst possibility it would be a push. You know, Seattle is desperate and the Vikings struggle there. Take the Seattle Seahawks +3 over the Minnesota Vikings and take under 42.5. Take the Buffalo Bills -14 over the New England Patriots and take over 46.5. Take the Jacksonville Jaguars +1.5 over the Las Vegas Raiders and take under 40.5. Neither team can be trusted here. Again, we're going to take whatever point we get. Take the San Francisco 49ers +1 over the Miami Dolphins and take under 44.5. Take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -4.5 over the Dallas Cowboys and take over 48.5. I'm actually going to go the opposite way. Take the New Orleans Saints +14 over the Green Bay Packers and take under 42.5. For my Let's Take the Man's Money parlay play, we'll take the Bills -4.5, Cardinals -5, and the Giants +9. A $25 bet will get us $183.50, and we'll tease those games, those same three games. We'll make the Colts actually 1.5-point dogs. We'll make the Cardinals 1-point dogs, and we'll take the Giants and bring them up to +15 over Atlanta. A $25 bet gets us $62.50.
So 5-7-1 against the spread and 8-5 with my over-under picks. That's still above 500 for the week. I did not do well on my top plays against the spread. 1-5. Oh my goodness. I guess I guessed wrong. And by saying I guessed, I don't guess at the games. It's just that I tried to guess which teams would be tanking and which teams would be trying really hard to win in desperation, and I was wrong. And I zigged when I should have zagged on a couple of the games. I'll let you know in a second. Well, we'll get right into it. On the first game that I told you to take had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -4.5 over Dallas, and the Buccaneers lost 26-24. I can't understand that. The Buccaneers, 1 week after beating the Chargers in LA 40-17, they lose to Dallas, who couldn't beat anybody all year at home. What's Dallas doing winning? By the time this game started, it was the Monday nighter, they were already out of the playoffs. You know, and they've actually won four of the last five games just to get a worst draft pick next year in the draft. I just don't understand that. We had the Arizona Cardinals minus -5 over Carolina. They lost 36-30 in overtime. You know, the Cardinals really needed that win, but they fell behind 21-13. And again, what's Carolina doing winning? They're just ruining their shot at a better draft next year. So I got that one wrong. Also, the New York Giants plus +9 over Atlanta. Atlanta won that game 34-7. So we didn't get that one right. You know, the Giants actually had a 7-0 lead over Atlanta, and then the Falcons scored 34 unanswered points. Oh, Drew Lock threw two pick sixes, too, for the Giants. I mean, one was not enough. I mean, they were going for the tank, so he threw two. And they lost to rookie quarterback Michael Penix Jr., making his first start. What a bad game by the Giants. We did get the Detroit Lions minus -6.5 over Chicago. They won that game 34-17. The Bears are just terrible. They were 4-2 at one point. They are now 4-12. They actually lost the other day to Seattle 6-3 at home. Oof. And we got the Buffalo minus -14 over New England game wrong. 1 week after beating the Lions in Detroit, man, maybe the Buffalo Bills were a little, you know, fat and sassy, as they say, and they spotted the Patriots a 14-0 lead. They did come back to win because the Bills are very good, but only by 3 points, no cover there. And then we had the New Orleans Saints plus +14 over Green Bay. The Saints got shut out 34-0, first shutout of the season. So there, I took Buffalo minus -14, even though I wanted to take the points. You know, the week before that, the Ravens had were 16-point favorites, I believe, over the Browns, and they covered. So I figured, you know, if there's one team that likes to pour it on, it is Buffalo. So I laid the points there. And then with the other game, the New Orleans game, I took the points. That's what I mean by zigzagging. I zigged when I should have zagged. With our two over-under plays, we had Indy over 42.5, and that game was 38-30. So, yes, that happened. We did not get the other over-under game, as the Rams-Jets total was 46.5. We took over 19-9, so no good there. The games that I didn't put money on, I actually did much better at. We had Cincinnati minus -7.5 over the Cleveland Browns. They won 24-6. We had Indy minus -3.5 over Tennessee, and they covered 38-30. Another ATS loss for the Titans. Unreal. We had the Rams minus -3 over the Jets, 19-9. Got that one correct. We had Washington plus +3.5 over Philadelphia. They actually won that game as 3.5-point dogs. So we got that one correct. The quarterback, Jalen Hurts, was he left the game with a concussion in that one. As for my Minnesota Vikings, they were 3-point favorites over Seattle, and that was a push. 2070s kind of hinted that that would be the 3 points would be the correct number. Got that one, you know, a push, and we got them wrong. Jacksonville plus +1.5 over Las Vegas. I don't know why the Raiders, they ruined their shot at getting the number one pick overall with that needless win over a bad Jacksonville team. And that didn't cover. And you're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKTJ. I am Gio. We'll be right back after this.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
And welcome back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. The first game we're going to look at has the Dallas Cowboys, who are 7-8, going to Philadelphia. The Eagles are 12-3. Philadelphia is 7.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 38.5. The Cowboys head to Philly with their playoff hopes officially ended. But there's still pride on the line. Cooper Rush will get his 14th career start at quarterback and his third shot at the Eagles. Let's just say the first two tries weren't highlight reel material. Earlier this season, Rush struggled against Philly, managing just 45 yards on 13 of 23 passing in a 34-6 loss. The last time he visited Lincoln Financial Field in 2022, he threw three picks in a 26-17 defeat. To have any chance of playing spoiler, Rush will have to, well, he'll have to be mistake-free and keep the offense moving for the Eagles. Quarterback questions are swirling. Jalen Hurts remains in concussion protocol and hasn't practiced yet, leaving Kenny Pickett, who's nursing sore ribs, as the likely starter. Pickett has been practicing and is ready to go with some extra rib protection. If Hurts can't suit up, and I don't think he is going to, rookie Tanner McKee will back up Pickett. Micah Parsons is a name to watch for Dallas. He's just half a sack away from joining an elite group of players like Reggie White and Derek Thomas with double-digit sacks in each of their first four seasons. With Philly's offensive line banged up, Parsons could be a game-changer. The stakes are sky-high for the Eagles. A win clinches the NFC East division, ensuring the division streak of no repeat champions, stretching to an unbelievable 20 seasons. On top of that, running back Saquon Barkley is chasing history, needing 268 yards to break the league's single-season rushing record. So look for him to have a big game, with Dallas ranking 28th in rush defense. So Barkley might feast today. The Eagles are motivated to lock up the division and have enough firepower to outlast the Cowboys. But Dallas doesn't seem to want to go out quietly at the end of this year. They've been playing really well. They've won four of their last five. I expect a battle here. So let's take the Eagles 24, Dallas Cowboys 20. Take the Dallas Cowboys plus 7.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles and take over 38.5. Our second game has the 4-11 New York Jets going to Buffalo, where the Bills are 12-3. They're 9.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 46.5. The Jets head into this AFC East matchup with little to play for other than individual milestones and some pride. Aaron Rodgers is just one touchdown pass away from becoming the fifth quarterback in NFL history to throw 500. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson needs only 13 receiving yards to hit 1,000 for the third straight season, a feat no Jets receiver has accomplished since George Sauer back in the 1960s. Wow, the Jets have had a run of mediocre wide receivers. Meanwhile, Davante Adams has been on fire, needing 72 receiving yards to notch his fourth straight 1,000-yard season. The Bills, on the other hand, have playoff positioning on the line. While the number one seed is out of reach, a win secures the number two seed in the AFC. Josh Allen has had mixed history against the Jets. He's beat them 8 times in 12 games, but also thrown 11 interceptions alongside his 14 touchdowns in those matchups. The Jets defense has been inconsistent, but they've given Allen some headaches in the past. The Bills' dominance within the division is evident, boasting a 23-5 record against AFC East teams since 2020, the second best in the league. In stark contrast, the Jets are 5-23 in that same span, the worst in the NFL. I remember when the Bills could not beat the Patriots. Whew, I was like one of the biggest mismatches of all time. How that's changed. And also dominating against the Jets. Buffalo's home field advantage has been a fortress this season, with the team undefeated in 7 games at home. 6 of those matchups have hit the over. So expect fireworks if Allen and the Bills offense find their rhythm. The Jets' individual milestones are fun storylines, but the Bills have more to play for and significantly more firepower. Buffalo will take care of business at home. They don't want a repeat of last week's close call against the lowly Patriots, who I just mentioned used to dominate them. I'm going to say the score of this game will be the Buffalo Bills 34, the New York Jets 20. The Bills have been giving up points recently, so I think the Jets can score, but the Bills will outscore them 34-20. Take the Buffalo Bills minus 9.5 over the New York Jets and take over 46.5. Next game up, We've got the 3-12 Las Vegas Raiders going to New Orleans, where the Saints are 5-10. The Raiders are actually 1.5-point favorites on the road here. The total in this game is 37.5. Oh, do we really have to? You know, this matchup features two teams playing for pride, I guess, as the Raiders visit the Saints. The spotlight is on Raiders rookie tight end Brock Bowers, who's putting together a historic season. Bowers is just 10 yards away from breaking Mike Ditka's 1961 rookie tight end receiving record of 1,076 yards. He's already set the rookie tight end reception record with 101 catches, and he's just four more passes to surpass Puka Nacua's overall rookie receptions mark, which was just recently set. For the Saints, injuries are a major storyline. Derek Carr battling a fractured non-throwing hand is out. That's too bad. It would have been interesting to see Carr play against his former team. That leaves Spencer Rattler to start again. The Saints were shut out last week, so in their last four games, they've scored 14, 14, 19, and 0 points. So their offense is stone cold. Rattler's recent struggles are notable, with three straight games under 175 passing yards. More bad news for the Saints is that running back Alvin Kamara will be out. Wide receiver Chris Olave is also out, and Marquise Valdes-Scantling is questionable. I have no idea where the Saints are going to find ways to score. The Raiders' running game could be a deciding factor. Alexander Mattison and Amir Abdullah split carries last week, so both could see solid workloads here. They'll face a Saints defense that's been vulnerable to running backs, ranking sixth worst in fantasy points allowed in the postseason. As for the stakes, the Raiders' odds for the number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft are slim at 1.3%. A loss would slightly improve their chances. A win, however, would eliminate them from the running. My prediction, you know what? Both teams are dealing with offensive struggles, and the injuries at quarterback limit the Saints' upside. The Raiders' edge in the ground game and Bowers' playmaking should be the difference. I see this game, Las Vegas 20, New Orleans 12. Take the Las Vegas Raiders minus 1.5 over the New Orleans Saints and take under 37.5. The next game we'll look at has the Indianapolis Colts, who are 7-8, going to New York, where the Giants are 2-13. The Colts are 7.5-point favorites on the road here. The total is 40.5. Oh, the Colts head to MetLife Stadium with playoff hopes still faintly alive, although they could be eliminated before kickoff, depending on all of the Saturday's results. I haven't figured that out yet. Indianapolis has leaned heavily on quarterback Anthony Richardson's legs, and it's paying off. Last week, Richardson ran for a career-high 70 yards in a win over the Titans, helping the Colts set a franchise record 335 rushing yards, the most by any team this season. Richardson's running game isn't about scrambles. It's all about design. He's averaged 9 design runs per game since week 11. With the Giants' rushing defense allowing 142.6 yards per game, Richardson and the Colts' ground game could have another big day. The big, big problem, though, is that Richardson is questionable for this game. That means Joe Flacco might start. But, you know, if Joe Flacco has to start, I like the Colts just as much. It could be Flacco's last game before he retires, so he'll want to go out on a high note. For the Giants, this is their last chance to reward their home fans with a win and avoid becoming the first team in NFL history to go 0-9 at home. Drew Lock will once again start at quarterback as the team looks to snap franchise record 10-game losing streak. Yeah, don't count on that happening. The Giants are in full tank mode. No need to screw things up now. Rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers is about the only thing this team has to cheer about. Running back Tyrone Tracy Jr. has emerged as a bright spot, putting up 16.9 fantasy points last week with his dual threat ability. The Colts have dominated losing teams this season, going 6-1 straight up and against the spread in those matchups. However, this is the first time as a touchdown favorite since week 1 of 2022. Still, the Colts' dominant rush attack should overpower the Giants' struggling defense. I think the Giants just fold here. They don't put up much of a fight. My prediction, Indianapolis Colts 33, New York Giants 10. Take the Indianapolis Colts -7.5 over the New York Giants and take over 40.5. When we come back, we'll look at Carolina at Tampa Bay, Tennessee at Jacksonville, Miami at Cleveland, and Green Bay at Minnesota, the game I can't wait for. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. We'll be right back.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
And we're back, everyone, with Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. Don't forget to follow me on X, hashtag LTTMMNFL. Tell me who your favorite plays are this week and where you're calling from, and see if you have any parlays that you may like or even a teaser play. All right. Our next game up has the 4-11 Carolina Panthers going to Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are 8-7. They are 8-point favorites in this game. The total is 48.5. The NFC South rematch has plenty on the line, particularly for the Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay no longer controls its own playoff destiny after last week's loss to Dallas, but still has a chance to clinch a postseason spot with help from other results. The Bucs have been plagued by turnovers lately, losing 12 since week 12, including a crucial fumble by Rashad White in last week's defeat. They'll need a cleaner game to step to keep their season alive. Quarterback Baker Mayfield continues to shine, leading the NFC with 34 passing touchdowns. He's on the verge of joining Tom Brady as the only quarterback in franchise history with 35 or more touchdown passes in a single season. Very good company indeed. For the Panthers, rookie quarterback Bryce Young has been a bright spot despite the team's struggles. He's had one of his best games last week, accounting for 3 total touchdowns, and was impressive in the Week 13 loss to the Buccaneers, throwing for 298 yards. However, Carolina's 236 rushing yards allowed in that game and a critical overtime fumble by Chuba Hubbard ultimately cost them the win. Wide receiver Adam Thielen has been a key target for Young, consistently putting up solid numbers. His recent form and connection with Young will be crucial against a Bucs secondary that has allowed some big plays and big games to wideouts. Hopefully, rookie Xavier Leggett is good to go for them as well. He is currently questionable. Tampa Bay has more at stake, but Carolina has been scrappy, especially as underdogs, going 6-0 against the spread in such situations recently. The Buccaneers should have enough firepower to win at home, but the Panthers will keep it close, and wouldn't they love to play spoiler? I'm going to guess the score here, Tampa Bay 30, Carolina 26. So take the Carolina Panthers +8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and take over 48.5. Our next one is another dud, 2-3-12 teams. Tennessee Titans go to Jacksonville. The Jaguars are 1-point favorites in this game. I guess somebody has to be the favorite. The total is 39.5. Well, nothing on the line other than draft positioning and maybe some pride. Both the Titans and the Jaguars have slim chances at the number one overall pick, but they're locked up in top 10 draft slots. So this game actually, It could be entertaining. I don't think either one of them has their sights set on the number one overall pick, and a win here would not really adversely affect their draft selection. So this could be entertaining. The Titans they've been hot in the red zone recently, converting all 7 trips into touchdowns the past 2 weeks. I mean, red hot for them. Offensive coordinator Nick Holtz credits the improvement to a stronger ground game and fewer penalties inside the 20-yard line. However, this streak began after a disappointing 0-for-2 red zone performance against Jacksonville in Week 14. And maybe I'm just trying to find something positive here. Running back Tyjae Spears continues to emerge as a pretty good playmaker. He should take on an increased workload facing a Jaguars defense that struggles to contain running backs. For Jacksonville, rookie wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. has been a revelation, rewriting the team's rookie record books with 1,088 receiving yards, 73 catches, and 9 touchdowns. One more touchdown catch, and that would make him just the second player in franchise history to record double-digit receiving touchdowns in a season, joining Allen Robinson's 2015 campaign. The Jags have shown flashes of defensive opportunism, forcing takeaways in 5 straight games, which ties a franchise record. However, with only 8 total takeaways this season, they rank last in the league in that category. Both teams have had rough seasons, but the Jaguars improved offense, and the home field advantage could tilt this one their way. The Titans have been masters of not covering the spread this year. Only 2 covers so far. 2. Why should that change here? My prediction is this game should lack offense. I'm not saying it'll challenge that 6-3 snooze fest we saw on Thursday Night Football between the Seahawks and the Bears, but it will be low scoring. I'm going to say Jacksonville 17, Tennessee 13. So take the Jacksonville Jaguars -1 over the Tennessee Titans and take under 39.5. Our next game up has the 7-8 Miami Dolphins going to Cleveland. The Browns are 3-12. Miami are now 3-point favorites in this game. That number was 6.5 earlier in the week, then went down to 3 and went down to 4.5, and now it's at 3. I'm looking at it right now. The total in this game is 35.5. Well, with their playoff hopes hanging by a thread, the Dolphins, well, they head to Cleveland. They face a struggling Browns team. They'll need a lot of things to fall their way for them to make it the rest of the season. Now, they did dodge a bullet on Saturday with the Broncos losing in overtime, so they are still alive. They're coming off a big win in Week 16, fueled by a much-needed resurgence in their run game, racking up 166 yards, making, that was their first game over 100 rushing yards since Week 9. A key to that success was the return of offensive guard Isaiah Wynn, who is expected to play a major role in keeping the rushing attack effective. They'll need Wynn to win more. Now that quarterback Tua Tagovailoa will probably not play. He hurt his hip. If you remember, he hurt that hip in his last game in college, and he didn't miss any time in his first year. But if I'm not mistaken, that's the first time he's missed a game or will miss a game because of his hip injury that he had in college. Tyler Huntley will try to save the season for the Dolphins. Oh my goodness. This is a must-win game against the Browns, whose defense, like I said, their defense has allowed 100 or more rushing yards in all but 2 games this season. So look for the running game here. Tua had been having difficulty recently against cover one. That's man-to-man coverage, more or less, which is what the Browns defense uses. So this could actually work out for them this way with Huntley as quarterback. For the Browns, receiver Jerry Jeudy has had a solid season, already setting career highs in receptions with 72 and yards with 1,072. But last week he was targeted just 3 times, his lowest of the season. He'll need more involvement if the Browns hope to have success on offense in this game. Dorian Thompson-Robinson gets the start at quarterback, so don't expect that to happen. Wow, Dorian Thompson-Robinson versus Tyler Huntley. Probably not what the patrons were hoping for when they shelled out all that money for tickets to this game. With the Dolphins' playoffs hopes hanging by a thread, expect them to play with urgency. Miami has a stronger team, and with their playoff hopes on the line, they should take care of business here. The Browns' defense could slow them at times, but Miami should still cover the spread. I'm predicting a low-scoring game here. The Dolphins 17, Browns 10. Take the Miami Dolphins -3 over the Cleveland Browns and take under a total of 35.5. Okay, here we go. The Green Bay Packers 11-4 at my Minnesota Vikings, who are 13-2. Minnesota 1.5 point favorites in this game. The total is 48.5. Yeah, now we're talking. This NFC North showdown between the Packers and Vikings is obviously crucial for each team. The Packers are aiming to turn around their division record, which currently stands at 1-3. While the Vikings have an eye on securing the NFC North title, a win for Minnesota could improve their chances of taking the division to 36%, while a loss would drop those chances significantly to just 14%. If the Vikings lose to the Lions next week and the Packers beat the Bears, then Minnesota loses its tiebreakers advantage. So this is a very important game for many too. For Green Bay, quarterback Jordan Love, he's made significant strides over the past six games. After struggling against the blitz early in the season, he now leads the NFL in QBR against the blitz. This is especially important against the Vikings, who blitz at the highest rate in the NFL, 38% of the time. If Love can continue his strong play under pressure, the Packers have a good shot at pulling off the win. On the other side, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold is looking to make history, as he could become the first quarterback to win 14 games in his first season with a new team. You know, I looked that up. I thought Jeff George did that with Minnesota years and years ago. Maybe he only won 13 games, though. Yeah, two quarterbacks who kind of resemble each other, Jeff George and Sam Darnold. Anyways, he's been on fire lately, throwing 15 touchdowns and just one interception over his last six games. A sweep of the Packers was also set up that huge Week 18 matchup against Detroit for the number one NFC seed, so plenty on the line in this game. The Vikings could rely on running back Aaron Jones to lead the charge against his former team. Remember, Jones was a Packer. He's been solid all year, and he had a good showing against Green Bay in Week 4, so expect him to be involved heavily again today. My prediction, you know, the Packers' recent form, especially Love's improvement against the blitz, could give them a slight edge. With the Vikings needing to keep pace in the NFC North title, this will be a tight one. The Vikings just seem to find a way. They're the hottest team in the NFL right now, winners of 8 straight. This should be a very intense game. First team to blink loses. It might be decided on a key turnover or a special teams touchdown. I may be a homer here, but I'm going to predict the Minnesota Vikings to beat the Packers 30-27 in overtime. Yes. So take the Minnesota Vikings -1.5 over the Green Bay Packers and take over 48.5. All right. That's 8 games in the books. When we come back, we'll look at the night games. Sunday nighter has Atlanta going to Washington, and on Monday night, Detroit goes to San Francisco. You're listening to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKTJ. I am Gio. We'll be right back after this.
We now return to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio on CKDJ 107.9.
And welcome back, everyone, to Let's Take the Man's Money on CKDJ. I am Gio. In this segment, we'll look at the final two games, Atlanta-Washington and Detroit-San Francisco. And we'll do a recap of the games that we'll be betting on, my favorite plays, along with the Let's Take the Man's Money parlay play and the three-game six-point teaser. Okay, on Sunday night, the Atlanta Falcons, who are 8-7, go to Washington, where the Commanders are 10-5. The Commanders are 3.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 46.5. This NFC matchup has serious playoff implications for both teams. The Falcons can clinch the NFC South and make their first playoff appearance since 2017 with a win and a Tampa Bay loss. Meanwhile, Washington can secure its first postseason berth since 2020. With a win or a Buccaneers loss. Atlanta will need a big performance from running back Bijan Robinson, who has been quietly dominant this season. Robinson ranks third in the league in rushing yards outside the tackles, 885 yards, 9 touchdowns outside the tackles. And he'll need to exploit a Commanders defense that has allowed the second most yards per carry, 5.7, on runs outside the tackles. I don't know where Romano finds these stats for me. If Robinson can find success on the ground, the Falcons will be in a good position. On the other side, Washington's offense will focus on getting its struggling running backs going. Over the past 2 weeks, the Commanders have averaged just 2.64 yards per carry, and they'll face a solid Atlanta defense that ranks 9th in yards per carry allowed, 4.3. If Washington can't establish the run, it could fall into trouble, especially with Falcons cornerbacks playing solid coverage. A key storyline for Washington is rookie quarterback Michael Penix Jr., who has a chance to become the first quarterback in Falcons history to win his first two career starts. He secured a win against the Giants despite not having a passing or rushing touchdown, an accomplishment that hasn't happened since 1999. The Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin has been a standout lately, and he could be a fantasy X factor. He's scored 17 or more fantasy points in four straight games. With the Falcons' struggles against perimeter receivers, McLaurin has a prime opportunity to keep that streak alive and could be the top fantasy receiver this week. My prediction is that Washington's defense, particularly its ability to limit the run and put pressure on Penix Jr., will give them an edge. With McLaurin likely to have a big game and the Commanders needing a win for a playoff positioning, Washington should cover. The Falcons played well for Penix in his first start ever last week, or maybe the Giants just didn't try. That fits perfectly with the Geo script, where the team wins their first game with the new quarterback. The Geo script says bet against that team in the second game. That's what we'll do here. I see the Commanders winning easily by a score of 27-13, so take the Washington Commanders -3.5 over the Atlanta Falcons and take under 46.5. I doubt Atlanta will get two pick sixes again. And the Monday Night Football game has a 13-2 Detroit Lions going to San Francisco, where the Niners are 6-9. The Lions are 3.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 50.5. In a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, the Lions are aiming to avenge a heartbreaking loss to the 49ers, which saw them blow a 17-point halftime lead. Receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown described that game as, quote, like a horror movie, end of quote. And with Detroit still in the hunt for the top seed, they're determined to make sure history doesn't repeat itself. On the other hand, the 49ers have taken a significant step back since the last season's playoff run. The Super Bowl hangover really hit them hard. And with Detroit's perfect road record this year, the Niners will need a major turnaround to pull off an upset. One area they'll need to improve is generating turnovers. San Francisco has just one takeaway in their last five games, which is one of the lowest totals in the league. The Lions have won seven straight road games, as I said. It's the longest such streak in franchise history. However, they've lost 14 consecutive road games to the Niners, including playoff games. For Detroit, a win here would clinch the number one seed and home field advantage in the playoffs, but they'll face a tough challenge here as they are a dome team and San Francisco plays on grass. A fantasy X factor is Brock Purdy, who bounced back in week 16 with a 21.1 fantasy points, and he's in a great spot to keep it rolling. The Lions defense has allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks over the past 4 weeks, so Purdy has the opportunity to have another solid fantasy performance in Championship Fantasy Week. My prediction, this might be an odd one for you, Detroit's offensive firepower, led by St. Brown in a strong ground game, will be too much for the struggling Niners. Despite the home field advantage, San Francisco's inability to force turnovers will give Detroit the edge. The Lions probably wish they weren't playing this one on Monday night with a possible showdown against the division rival Vikings for the number one seed next week. A lot will depend on the Packers-Vikings game. If Minnesota wins, expect the Lions to give their best performance. But if the Packers win, I can see the Lions resting the players. My prediction for this game is 31-24. Okay? If Minnesota wins, take the Lions. Okay? You're following me? If Minnesota wins this game, the Lions show up and win 31-24. But if the Packers win, expect the Niners to win by, let's say, the same score, 31-24. Homer that I am, I'm cheering for my Minnesota Vikings. So right now, let's take the Detroit Lions -3.5 over the San Francisco 49ers and take over 50.5. All right. So that's it. That'll wrap up all the games. Let's do a little fast little recap here. In terms of games that I like, my best game has the Indianapolis Colts -7.5 over the New York Giants. The Giants just aren't trying. I really like the Dallas Cowboys +7.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. With Hurts possibly not playing and Dallas playing for pride, trying to get a .500 record at least. They have won 4 of their last 5 games here. Could shock the Eagles. So I like Dallas +7.5. Next up, I like Carolina +8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Panthers would love to ruin it for the Buccaneers this week with a win here. Anyways, we'll take the 8 points. I like Jacksonville -1.5 over the Tennessee Titans. The Titans never cover, and why should they cover here? I still like Miami -3 over the Cleveland Browns, even with the scrub quarterbacks. Well, both teams are playing with scrubs. I like Washington -3.5 over the Atlanta Falcons. I like 2 overs this week. I like Carolina-Tampa over 48.5. And I like Green Bay-Minnesota over 48.5 as well. I also like games that I won't be touching. I like the Buffalo Bills -9.5 over the Jets. Who else have I missed here? I like my Vikings -1.5 over Green Bay, but again, I'm being a bit of a homer. And a couple of, you know what, we're running out of time. So, you know, for my Let's Take the Man's Money parlay play, I'll take Indy -7.5 over the Giants, Carolina +8 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Washington -3.5 over the Atlanta Falcons. A $25 bet gets us $182.30. We'll change it up a little bit for our 3-game 6-point teaser. Let's tease the Cowboys up to +13.5 over Philly. We'll tease Carolina up to 14 over Tampa Bay. And we'll tease Washington down and make them 2.5-point favorites over Atlanta. A $25 bet will get us $62.50. Okay. And that'll wrap up the show for Week 17. One more week to go. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Big shout out to my producer, Romano. Good luck with picks this week. Romano and I would like to wish you, all of you, a very happy new year, and we'll see you in 2025 for our final show of the season. For CKTJ, I am Gio. Let's take the man's money.
You've been listening to Let's Take the Man's Money with Gio. Tune in every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time.